Amen. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I hope you're glad that you're here. Amen. We're going to go to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 6 through 8 tonight. Praise God. Something came to me here in the Word of God, and we want to look at it here tonight. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Everybody said in everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. Everybody said, keep your heart.
Keep your heart.
And minds. Everybody said, keep your minds.
Keep your minds.
It's the same thing. Through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report or of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. If you want to title this tonight, you just call it The Keeper. Amen. The Keeper. It'll keep us, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Good looking group of young people here tonight. Amen. And I don't know where the other one's at, but here he comes. We love all these young men. And they're good young men. Praise God. All right, let's pray and ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the touch of your Spirit, Lord, that you blessed us with. I thank you tonight for your word. I'm asking you to anoint it to our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Thank God. I know God's been good to you. Brother Reed said, when was the last time the Lord did exceeding abundantly? I think he did that today. He let me get up today and come to the house of God and pray and seek his face. Amen. I got up this morning and began to talk to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost just came over me. And that's exceeding abundantly above and beyond what I deserve. But I'm thankful for God's blessings tonight. Amen. My message tonight, what I want to bring to us, was actually born out of a Bible study that I was teaching here not very long ago. In fact, it was just yesterday. And I won't call names or anything because I don't want anyone to be embarrassed. But we begin the Bible study. We went through the Word of God. And then the person just began to open up about their testimony and what they have been going through in their life and what God had done up to this particular point in their lives. And some of the very difficult, the dark hours that this person was going through, they would seek for truth, and they would seek for things that would help them on this journey if I say husband or wife, I'll give it away here tonight, but someone that they were married to, and it was very, very difficult, and began to testify how that God brought them through. And while they were talking about that, I felt the Lord speak to my heart, because she got through it every day by what she was meditating on and what she was thinking about. And I felt like I wanted to talk about that tonight, because what we need as individual Christians here tonight, children of God, apostolic saints of God here tonight, What we need is for the young, the old, and from now on, all of us to be meditating on the Word of God daily.
Amen.
Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe it's good for parents. I believe it's good for married couples. And I think that what we want to do what I want to do tonight, and I want to start off with Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, and use those scriptures as a starting point for all of us to read and to meditate on the Word of God every day. And so it's the starting point here. There are eight things that we need to think about, and I'll just quote them again. Truth, that which is true, that which is honest, that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely, good, report, virtue, and praise. Amen. And that will last just a little bit more than a week if you take and dissect those scriptures and look at them and understand that the Lord wants us to meditate on these things and to think about these things. Amen. I don't know when the last time was that all of us thought about that which is true. Amen. We don't really go down that road too often. We get caught up in our daily life, and we get caught up in everything that's going on around us, and it's easy to get caught in the vortex. Amen. It's easy to get caught up and forget to read the Bible, forget to look at this. And so I want to look at it here tonight, and I want to establish something that we will use a scripture every week that we can meditate on as a church. Amen. We're planning on doing a different curriculum for the Sunday school. And in that curriculum, as long as I feel it on Sunday morning, we're going to all be talking about the same thing on Sunday morning. The young people, the adult class, the Sunday school class, it's going to be a theme. And at the end of the whatever time frame it is, we're going to have Family Sunday, and we're going to invite all of the families of the children that come to church and have a big service and have food and fellowship after that service. I'm looking forward to that. And so if you have a scripture throughout the course of the year that you feel that would be a blessing to everyone in the church, I would like for you to submit that. But what we want to do is we want to take some time every night. If it's 5 minutes, if it's 10 minutes, if it's 15 minutes, to find someone. If you're married, find your spouse. If you have children, get your family together and sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and discuss the scripture that you were meditating on that day. And have a moment of prayer together and ask the Lord to give you an understanding of the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. I think it's going to be a very good thing if we will follow through with this. Amen. If you're single here tonight and you don't have anyone to do that with, find another single person in the church or someone that you can get with. And call them up on the phone and discuss the scripture and have a moment of prayer together. Praise God. And just felt that if someone that doesn't know the Lord in the fullness of truth can get through trials and tribulations and the road of life, then we can make it as well.
Amen.
Praise God, because we've got the Holy Ghost tonight. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And so let's look at it here tonight. the keeper. The word keep here shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep here means to be a watcher in advance, to mount a guard as a sentinel or a post where people spy the landscape to look and to listen to see if there's any enemy that's coming along. That's what the word keep here means, to be a watcher. And anything that we want to keep, anything that is of value, depends on a plan of protection. Amen. If you've got precious things, you might go out and buy a safe so you can put those in there. So when a thief comes, if he does come, it can be protected and you're not going to lose your valuable things. In scripture time, a city that was without walls was considered to be an unprotected city. I don't know what it would be like to live in a place where you would be fearful at all times that an enemy army would come and you would be unprotected and easily taken over. And the cities in the scripture days were considered not safe if they did not have walls around them. Amen. Place of protection and a place where the watchman on the wall, he was up higher. He could look around and see things that others would not be able to see. Praise God. And when it comes to the most important part of us, and I will look at this here tonight, the most important part of us is our mind, amen, because it is the brain that commands all of the functions of the body, amen. It is the brain that is so very, very important to us. Very fragile instrument, but no less powerful, and the strongest computers don't even come close to the power of your brain. Some of us may not feel like that, but it's the truth. Amen. And it's vital that this precious thing that we have called our mind, that we protect it from foreign invasion. Amen. And we try our best to protect ourselves from the flu, amen. As much as we can, we're going to do virtual handshakes. Praise God. If somebody's coughing, you keep your distance from them. And it's not that you're trying to be offensive, you just don't want to catch the flu. Amen. That's the way I look at it. And the coronavirus, we're hearing a lot about that. And people are going to great extremes. I saw a little article about that, and the federal government is this week is making 75,000 masks available, and each week thereafter they're going to have 1 million masks available every week. Now that's quite a bit of stuff. Amen. And it's all to protect the people from these things that could kill us. And so these things that are lurking in the shadows, they're almost invisible, and they come and they introduce themselves through touching your eyes or breathing it into your mouth or touching a surface that's infected and then touching your eyes or your mouth with it. It's lurking, it's everywhere, and you know, a lot of folks are scared about this new virus that's going around, but I looked and I got the statistic from Google, and I know everything that's on Google is right, but I've read it in more than one place, that every year there is about 1 million cases of the flu, just the common flu. 1 million cases, and out of that 1 million cases, 150 to 200,000 people end up in the hospital. Amen. And out of those that end up in the hospital, 10 to 69,000 people die every year from the flu. Amen. And I don't know why they're building this up as some big thing. I know because they don't have a vaccine for it and all of that. And I'm thankful for someone that's proactive, amen, and trying to help us so that we don't get sick. Can you say amen?
Amen.
People that don't have the Holy Ghost know this. They understand this. And they are devising a plan. Amen. And I think what we need to do more than anything is devise a plan to protect our mind. Praise God. And so we've got to protect our city called the mind from foreign attack by putting up a spy or a guard. Amen. Something on the wall that will help us and keep us from any foreign invasion that would try to come into our heart and our mind and our spirit and hurt us. Amen. The wise man Solomon in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28, it talks about a city without walls. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And so that thing, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, that's a negative connotation. He's allowing some things into his life, and he doesn't have any walls to keep it back. Amen. We've got to have some walls in our lives. Walls are insurance. They are protection. They are safety. The walls of our life bring peace. Amen. We don't worry at night whether Russia is going to come and invade our country. And we don't worry if China is going to invade our country because they know that if they do, they're going to be blown to smithereens. And we have the capacity to do that. The strength of our military is our physical wall that helps us to be safe and to be a nation that's in peace. Praise God. And so... walls are insurance, they're protection, they're safety, and they give us peace. Walls in the Old Testament were made of stone, and each one of those stones were contributing to the strength of the whole wall, providing that that they do their part. And when they get together as a whole, they provide the blessings to those that live on the inside. Praise God. And you can look at certain cities in the scripture days in the Old Testament. Some of the stones that were in the foundation were 30 feet long, 15 feet wide, 12 feet high. Just one stone. And when enemies would try to come, there was no way they could breach that wall because it was set up so that it was secure. Praise God. And we've got to have a secure wall of protection in our lives spiritually. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, we've heard that holiness standards, and we talk about it that way, the standards of holiness, our outward standards, are a wall to keep us safe, and in some ways that is true. They do keep us safe, but there's more to it than just the outside. There's got to be something on the inside that's strong. Amen. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," and so that is including you and me, and so. Upon this rock he has built Matthew. Upon this rock he has built Garrett. Upon this rock, I could go through and name everyone that's here tonight and make it personal that God has given us the ability, or the resources rather, as a rock to stand upon. So in any time in our life, good or bad, amen, we've got a sentinel. We've got something that is watching, something that is set up, a strong, strong tower that the righteous run into and are safe. Praise God. Book of Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, if you'll turn with me tonight. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 is the very familiar story of Jericho, the assault against Jericho. And the children of Israel had come into the promised land. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, and it says that Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And so Jericho was known as a strong city. It had walls that were very high, and it was said in history that it was wide enough that two chariots could pass each other on the top of that wall. There were people that lived on that wall, such as Rahab the harlot, and we won't go into that here tonight. But they came up against this city. And this city was full of the wicked, amen. It was full of the devil, if you please. We could just say it that way tonight. And it was full of everything that God did not like and was not of God. And in fact, it was so corrupt that the Lord said, don't take any spoils. I don't want you to take any gold or silver or outfits or anything. I just want you to go in and destroy it. And we look at that story and we can say, well, God is pretty harsh pretty strong. But what you've got to understand is that the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament. Amen. And it is a physical example of a spiritual truth. Praise God. The devil has a city with walls, and we've got to tear those walls down. Praise God. Imaginations and wrestling against spirits, as the scripture says. We must protect ourselves and understand that there are some things that we need to destroy. Amen. Amen. If you're battling with sin in your life, it's got to be destroyed. You can't play around with it. It's got to be taken care of. And I want to talk about that just a little bit. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So in 6 days, they went around the city 6 times. And the 7 priests, notice there are sevens all throughout this. And the 7 priests shall bear the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day, you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpet, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Sounds kind of crazy, but when you look at what God does in history and scripture, there's a lot of times that crazy things happen. Amen. There's a lot of times you look at the will of God and you say, this just can't be the will of God. It just can't work. This is a wall that's big enough for 2 chariots to cross over. Nobody's ever defeated this city. We're not really good warriors at this point in time. We've just come from the desert, and we've been in the desert 40 years. Well, not quite 40 years. This was the 2nd generation. But there was something in their hearts that was different here They had faith in God. Amen. And folks, we've got to have faith in God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We got to have faith in the Word of God. And not only in the Word of God, but I believe that we need to meditate on the Word of God. And I believe that we need to speak the Word of God and pray the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Because it is powerful. And I'd like to say it this way, that there is no wall that is so big and wide that God cannot knock that wall down. Praise God. And so they marched around 6 days on the seventh day seven times. So the seven in Scripture represents completion. Amen. And the Bible says in one place that you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so it's the will of God that we be complete in Him, and we must defeat our Jerichos. Amen. We've got to deal with our Jerichos, from the young people all the way to the rest of us. Amen. We've got our Jerichos to battle. Amen. And if you don't have a Jericho, well, you're going to have a Jericho. Amen. Seven times total. I wonder if this city, you know, the Lord could have took them into the promised land in any other place, but He told them to go through the River Jordan at a particular place and to go to a particular city first. Well, the first city was Ai, and they learned a lesson about commitment and obedience to God's word, and then the next place was Jericho. And why would He lead them first to Jericho? I got a feeling that Jericho was the very thing that was in this promised land that would destroy them if they didn't destroy it first. And I think when we begin to walk with God, we've got to understand that there are some things we've got to get a hold of first. Amen. There's some things we've got to establish in our walk with God first. And when we establish those things, then we can go on and conquer all the land that God has for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I wonder, though, if Jericho represents everything that the Lord hates. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 through 19. And this is something I saw this here, and I had to put it in here. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, these things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And you could look at each and every one of those six things, and then He says, yes, there's seven. And they marched around the city six times, 6 days, and I think that each day in the realm of the Spirit, God was moving on a particular part of that wall. There was probably six or seven towers. I don't know if that's true, but just let me use a little bit of my imagination tonight, that there were probably six or seven towers, and as they marched around, maybe the Lord in the realm of the Spirit was saying, there's one tower that's gone. Amen. I've got my X on that tower right there. Day number two, when they walked around, there's another X on the wall or on the tower that I'm going to bring down. And if we have any one of these things in our life, then we've got to do battle and destroy it. Amen.
Amen.
And allow God to destroy it for us, so that we can go into the promised land and have victory and prosperity. Praise God. Amen. You're going to face that spirit that will try to do a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. You can go down through all of the list there tonight. But I think that probably Jericho represented everything that God hated, all of the abominations of that land that God hated. And these here, when you look at these in Proverbs chapter 6, every one of these, almost every one of them, have their origin in the mind. Think about that. Every one of them have got a starting point in the mind. And eventually they come from the mind and they are acted out in our lives. And so what we must have, a keeper of our mind. We've got to have something that will keep our mind or protect our mind, or it will be a tower with a spy or a watchman. And when he cries out that there's an enemy, we come running and quickly get it out of our lives. Amen. And destroy that which would try to come and harm us. And so Proverbs chapter 9, let's look at chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1 through 6. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. And so here is the individual that is founded upon wisdom. Praise God. And wisdom is a strong tower. Wisdom is a keeper of the mind. Wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Praise God. And so Scripture refers to wisdom in the female sense, and it calls wisdom her or she. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Amen. There's that strong tower, that high wall, and the spies and the watchmen are on the wall. And they're watching for anything that will come along. Amen. And if we are wise tonight, we will watch carefully for anything that could enter into our mind that would take us away from God. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it takes us back to our text scripture tonight. But what are these seven pillars of wisdom, and where does wisdom live? Where's it located? What are these seven pillars? I'll tell you, they reside in the mind, or they have the capacity to reside in the mind. And so I read to you tonight from the book of Philippians, and it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Everybody said true. So truth is a pillar of wisdom. Praise God. Honesty, everybody said honesty. Honesty is a pillar in the mind. Amen. That which is just, everybody said just. Just, that which is right. Amen. We're not going to think about that which is wrong, but we must think about that which is right. Just, that's pillar number three. Purity, everybody said purity or pure. Pure, that which is pure. And folks, we've got an awful lot of stuff in our world today that's impure. There's a lot of things you can think about and spend your time thinking about that is not pure. And yet purity, when we think on things that are pure, it becomes a strong pillar in the mind. Amen. And lovely. Everybody said lovely.
Lovely.
Amen. And I'm sure all the boys on the front row know what they're thinking about that's lovely. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was a little bit of a joke. A couple of them got it, but the others didn't quite get it. Amen. The day will come when you'll get it. Praise God. That which is lovely, that which is of a good report. And I know there's eight of them here, but I'm just going to say there's seven. We'll throw an extra pillar in there. Praise God. Whatsoever is of a good report. Everybody said a good report. A good report. That's a pillar of the mind. Virtue, that which is virtuous. Everybody said virtue. Amen. That's high quality. That's high quality stuff there. That's what we need to think about. We need not to think about things that are not of quality because it won't bless us. But virtue, thinking upon virtue, is a pillar of the mind. And praise. Everybody said praise.
Praise.
Praise. Amen. And that's not necessarily praise to God, but it's praise for other people. Amen. Letting them know how you feel about them and think on these things. Praise God. And so in a computer language tonight, we have a firewall of protection. Praise God. We have something that will protect our mind and we'll stand on the wall and watch. And so when something comes along that does not match up to the scripture here, then we get out our weapons of warfare and we fight the good fight of faith, praise God, and we cut it off, we destroy it, and cast it out of our mind.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. It's something we don't think about oftentimes, but I'm going to try to help us to think about it more so that we can live the victorious life that God wants us to live.
Amen.
Amen. And so those are the pillars. I just got a notice from my cell phone carrier that they have a new free service, and it kicked in here a few days ago. And if I get any phone call that is potentially spam or potentially harmful to my phone or my information, it will automatically block it, and a little thing will come up on the screen and say, possible spam. And then I have the option whether to hit answer or just leave it alone and it won't answer it. And that's a free service. Praise God. I like that. Amen. Because I got a phone call from, I think it was Scotland here the other day, and I said, I don't know anybody from Scotland. And so I didn't answer the phone. Amen. And I've gotten phone calls from Uganda, from some of those countries over there. And don't answer the phone and say, oh, it'd be cool to talk to somebody in Uganda, because it's not going to be cool to talk to them. They're going to be trying to get all the information that they can get out of you. I've heard that if you answer the phone and they say, is this Greg? And you say, yes, they will actually record you speaking yes, and they will go online and get a loan. And when they get the loan, they ask you, now commit to this by saying yes, and they'll play that yes. And they can actually get loans in your name and steal your privacy. Amen. Lots of things that we think about. How many here tonight just answers anything that comes onto your phone? See there? None of us do, because we understand the value and the importance of protecting what we have. Amen. Our name, our credit, all of that's very important. And we've got to take steps to protect it. Amen. Because we're going to face our Jerichos, and the walls are big and high, but we've got to march around it seven times, and we've got to apply the principle here, the scriptural principle. And so what we should do is, and don't think the pastor's going crazy, but if you're fighting your Jericho, even if you're not, amen, we've got to get a spy up on the wall and look around.
Amen.
Everything's clear. I see them on the North Korean side. They've got that that zone right there between North and South Korea. And I've seen pictures of the North Koreans with their glasses, and they're watching and they're looking and just constantly looking to see if there's any movement or if there's any enemy that would try to come over that line. Security of countries except America, amen. The security of our countries is of prime importance, and I'm thankful that we've got a president that's involved in that. Praise God. And walk around your house. Spy it out. Amen. And cover your house with the blood of Jesus Christ. Pray for your home. Amen. Pray for your children. Pray for your husband and your wife and your friends and the church. Praise God. And the mind is so very, very important. And we need to be saved. There are many times we need to be saved. Israel had to be saved from Jericho. Even though they had crossed over into the promised land, they had been baptized unto Moses in the sea and baptized unto Moses in the cloud. But when they went into the promised land, there were some other things they had to battle in their lives. Amen. And let's look at it here. Isaiah chapter 59. I'm not going to go much longer here. But Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 16 and 17. It says, "And he," that would be the Lord, "saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." Amen. So God rolled up his sleeve. Scripture says that he laid his arm bare. And the right arm of God is a representation of his salvation. Praise God. Amen. He was covered. He was covered. But when he came to bring us salvation, he laid his arm bare. And Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth as a man, but he was God. Amen. He was God laying his arm bare and going to Calvary so that we could be saved. Praise God. And look at what God did here. "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Amen. If it was good enough for God, it should be good enough for us. Praise the Lord. And the thing I want to focus on there is the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now this "stand therefore" is right after he said, "having done all else to stand." Amen. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Praying always. Everybody said always.
Always.
"Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me." He wanted them to pray for the ministry as well, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to know the mystery of the gospel. And you look at the armor that God has given to us, almost all of these things pass through the mind.
Amen.
They go through the mind. And so tonight we have the victory. Somebody said, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Praise the Lord. And the long-term victory, you may have the victory tonight, but the long-term victory that you have is going to come about because you have the keeper of your mind.
Amen.
Those eight things that we think about, amen, that we allow into our decision-making processes, amen. Those are very vital things. Amen. How many's been on their job over 10 years? Well, praise God. How many's been on their job for 20 years? There's three, four. How about 30 years? Dennis is going to have his hand up forever. Brother Mike, 35 years, is it? 35 years. How many years, Dennis?
42.
It's too long. You can't even count that far. Has there ever been a temptation, Brother Mike, when somebody comes along and starts to run down the business and they try to tempt you to quit? Yeah, that's happened. How about you, Dennis? Anybody come along? I'm sure everybody over there is happy as they can be and they don't mind making good money and, you know, they're just excited about it. He's laughing right now. Amen. Brother Deontay, have you ever had somebody come along and do that? Not sure? He has. All right. Brother Doug? Yeah. How many here tonight's ever been tempted to go that direction and begin to run down your job? Okay, somebody's honest tonight. I got one hand up. Oh, two, three hands are up. Praise God. But you know what? You didn't quit, did you? Something went into your mind that said, I can't think like this anymore.
Amen.
I've got to focus on my paycheck this week, or I've got to focus on my retirement. This is too good of a job for me to quit. Amen. I've got to stick with the program. Praise God. Well, folks, this is too good. Heaven is too good to quit now. Not the will of God that we quit. It's not the will of God that we stop our walk with God and let come what may. But I'm telling you tonight, we can make it if we have those seven pillars in our mind.
Amen.
That's holding up the wall, praise God. And it gives us strength and it gives us the resources that we need to defeat anything that would come against us.
Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. I hope that it helps somebody. And take that scripture in Philippians chapter 4. I printed it out this morning on my computer at the house, and I've been looking at it today. I go back and read it after a little while, and I encourage everybody. I want to admonish all of us here today to take those eight things and maybe you could just write out, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. And just write that down and all during the day, pull that card up that's in your pocket, especially when it gets a little bit hard. Just pull it up and read it again. And then you can say, thank you, Lord, for a good job. Thank you, Lord, that I'm so blessed. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to think about anything that other than that which is true. Praise God. Truth, not things that are a lie. Honesty, just, purity, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. Do y'all get what I'm talking about here tonight? You know what? Have you got a song? If you don't, we'll just... Okay. Go ahead. I appreciate these young people here tonight. Anybody else appreciate them? Amen. I do. And, you know, sometimes they just need somebody to come up to them and say, hey, you're doing a good job. Sounded really good. Praise God. And it does. I appreciate all these young people that are involved. And I think pretty much all of them are involved. Amen. And God's been good to us that way. Amen. Let's, did we pray for Brother Charlie tonight? Amen.